Emily, and today I have a nurse that I really, really admire. She is my stroke group leader, and I could not ask a more professional nurse than her. And Angela, I would love to bring you on the air.
Hi.
And I would love for you to explain your bio to our listeners and our audience this morning.
Sure. So I am, my name is Angela Wielden. I have been a nurse for, going on 17 years. I've always worked for the most part at EMMC, Eastern Maine Medical Center, in Bangor, Maine. And for the majority of my career, I've always worked with patients who have some sort of neurological issue. So it could be anything from acute stroke to dementia to head injury, taking care of those patients. And then my career has just sort of evolved such that the past 6 years now I've been the stroke coordinator for Eastern Maine Medical Center. So Eastern Maine Medical Center is considered a primary stroke center through the Joint Commission. So that's a designation through them that we provide best practice evidence-based care so that we get rapid care to patients with stroke symptoms. So one of my roles is advocating for stroke patients and also getting information out to the community about stroke. And one of those things I do is I run the stroke support group in this area.
You are amazing. You really are, giving your time and efforts and everything.
I enjoy it.
Our group admires you a lot.
Thank you.
Is there anything that you could offer for tips of our survivors, our warriors out there that are at home?
Yeah, so, there are a few things. One of the main things that I find is that stroke survivors, sometimes they aren't able to advocate for themselves. They may not have anybody to advocate for them. And sometimes they even fall through the cracks, meaning they're discharged home, they've had a stroke. It may not be a severe stroke, it may be a smaller stroke, but they still have deficits and they still need help. And I find that there are some patients out there, even nationally, that fall through the cracks in that they don't have a follow-up appointment with their neurologist, or they may not even have a neurologist in their area, so they follow up with their primary care physician. And so really just making sure that they know what is out there for resources. I don't feel like there are enough out there for resources, but there are some. So the main thing is making sure they have a follow-up with their neurologist.
Thank you. And is there anything that you could provide for tips of caregivers providing stroke survivors at home? I do know that communication with caregivers is really important.
It is super important. Most of the support groups that I know of have a caregiver component, so I think that is huge. Mm-hmm. And there are some resources through the American Heart, American Stroke Association, and there are also some resources through the National Stroke Association as well. And I'm sure you can probably provide those links. But those are some of the kind of go-to people that I have when I need information. And of course, the stroke neurologists that I work with to help those stroke survivors at home. The other thing that's really nice is that, knowing where your stroke is, knowing how to maximize on your deficits and know that you're going to be waxing and waning. And as you know, more than anybody, it comes and it goes, right?
Oh, definitely. Yes, and I am definitely, after I found some research on myself, I really, if I need tips, I always go to you and your courses. I mean, the doctors you have to speak are just amazing. Now, do you remember me at the hospital at all?
I don't.
There was a lot of nurses that came to check me in and out when I was in ICU.
Yeah,
yeah. I could hear them talking, yeah. But
I would have been on the fifth floor at that time, so I would have been on the acute care unit. So usually stroke patients progress from the ER to the ICU to Grant 5 and then to acute rehab. So I was on that Grant 5. And what year was your stroke?
2009.
Okay. So I was definitely there. I may have been in charge. You know, I may not have had an assignment, but I don't even recall. Sometimes patients skip the acute side and they go right to rehab. So I don't know if you did that.
I did. I went to ICU and then I went up to the sixth floor And yep. then when I was in ICU, they could not get my blood pressure to stop. So there was an acute mm-hmm. nurse that came down and mm-hmm. helped with some energy healing, and she was able to bring my blood pressure down with my 30 points.
Nice.
It was amazing. It really was.
Yeah. So I don't think our paths crossed, Emily, because you would have skipped our floor totally. You didn't come to the neurology floor. You went to respiratory.
Yes. Yes. And you are one that I don't remember, and I remember so many, you know, became a family, definitely. You've already presented a lot of information for us. Is there anything new that you do remember hearing that is coming in the near future?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So one of the things that patients don't realize is that they don't realize that TPA can be given if they come to the hospital within 3 to 4.5 hours of the time they were last seen normal, or time without that deficit or problem. They often go back to bed, and then when they come to us, we can't do anything quickly. However, there is something new that we've been doing for some time now, or the stroke community has been doing for quite a long time. But most recently at EMMC, we're going to be offering endovascular treatment. So our time window for code strokes coming through the emergency department, last known well, is going to be, is 24 hours right now. It has been for a little while. Mm-hmm. So let me just tell you what that means.
Okay.
So about 11% of ischemic stroke patients have a large clot in a large vessel. They're called LVOs. And so we know, based on research, that those patients that have a clot in a large vessel can benefit from a thrombectomy within 24 hours of last seen normal, which is huge, because just a few years ago around this community in Bangor, we were not able to offer that. And so our code stroke, you know, really had to be within 6 hours or, you know, 4.5 hours of last seen normal. And now not only can patients probably get TPA if they're in that time window, but they can also benefit from thrombectomy. So what we do is, when you come to the emergency department with stroke symptoms, we call a code stroke. If you come through EMS, we recommend patients always calling EMS, because you're pre-notified. We know you're coming, and we can prepare that medication before you come.
Wow.
So there's a lot of work around that statewide, so that when a stroke patient goes to any hospital in the state, that they can receive the same level of care. Not everybody can receive a thrombectomy, obviously, because that's for some of the larger hospitals. But we will start offering that in August.
That's
and Right now, we're sending patients to Maine Medical Center in Portland to do that. So that it is offered there, and it has been for some time. But really getting the word out that regardless of when your stroke symptoms occurred or started, you still need to get to the hospital quickly because we can still potentially do something that's helpful.
Yes, ma'am. And what's one thing that is really inspiring and touching and so important to me is there has been an eye doctor in Eastern Maine now. And, you know, that's big to me because I definitely, in my stroke when it happened, I could have used an eye doctor then. So it definitely is just so important to me and touching. Mm-hmm. Now, audience, I would love to leave you with a quote today. The road to success is always under construction. I invite you to my Facebook support group, Emily's Corner, and we are there for brain injury awareness, lifelong events, challenges, your recovery, and it's green and purple. So when you search, it is Emily's Corner, and I also invite you to my website, www.strokeandtbiallies.com, www.strokeandtbiallies.com. You are never alone.